Turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. This chapter is a little easier than last week. And probably you'll find a little bit more encouraging as well this week. I am going to read the entire chapter. It maybe looks like a long read, but it's not too bad. Notice some similarities. So before I read, I want you to notice, so the law has already been given in Exodus, and you can find it in Deuteronomy as well. But you'll see the resemblance of the law of God come out through this chapter, of what he calls us to do and how to live. And so pay attention to that. Remember who he's speaking to. The Lord is visiting with Moses, and then he's going to say, speak to the entire population of Israel. And this is what he wants Moses to pass along. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make gods of cast metal for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. When you sacrifice a fellowship offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. It shall be eaten on the day you sacrifice it or on the next day. Anything left over until the third day must be burned up. Remember that a fellowship offering would be a food offering. This is something that they would actually eat. If any of it is eaten on the third day, it is impure and will not be accepted. Whoever eats it will be held responsible because he has desecrated what is holy to the Lord. That person must be cut off from his people. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. But fear your God, I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice, do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life, I am the Lord. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord. Keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. If a man sleeps with a woman who is a slave girl promised to another man, but who has not been ransomed or given her freedom, there must be due punishment. Yet they are not to be put to death, because she had not been freed. The man, however, must bring a ram to the entrance to the tent of meeting for a guilt offering to the Lord. With the ram of the guilt offering, the priest is to make atonement for him before the Lord for the sin he has committed, and his sin will be forgiven. When you enter the land and plant any kind of fruit tree, regard its fruit as forbidden. For 3 years you are to consider it forbidden. It must not be eaten. In the fourth year, all its fruit will be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. But in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit. In this way, your harvest will be increased. I am the Lord your God. Do not eat any meat with blood still in it. Do not practice divination or sorcery. Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists. For you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. I am the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as you've taught us in your scripture this morning, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to bring that word to life. And Lord, so may these words be your words, never my own. And I pray you fill me with that Spirit, Lord, as I bring the message to your people. And Lord, for your people, may their ears and eyes and may their minds be opened to receive that message today. May you speak to every one of them in the way that they need to be spoken to today. In Jesus I pray, amen. Got a question for you this morning. What is different about this cheese versus all other cheeses? It's what? It's holy. Very good. All right. So what do you think of when you see, when you think of a holy person, what do you think of? Roll that around in your mind a little bit this morning. What does that look like? How should he or she act if they are considered to be a holy person? All right, now that you have your conclusion about that, let me ask you another question. Are you holy? Ask yourself that in the way that you live your life. Do you even want to be holy? Maybe that would be a better question. Maybe you think of a holy person as someone who never smiles or has an attitude of being holier than thou, and you don't want to be like that. Some of us grew up with legalistic standards of holiness. Good Christians don't dance. Good Christians don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't chew, and they never hang around with those that do. Remember those rules? Yeah. Others think of a holy person as one who is super spiritual, maybe. Well connected to God. They're in their Bible, and they pray constantly, and they hear from God often in their lives. And since none of us can measure up to that, we might assume that we are not the holy type. We're not good enough. We don't label ourselves as being holy by the measurement stick that we use. So what does it mean to be holy? Especially in the context of Leviticus 19. We're going to learn that this morning. The literal meaning for holy in Leviticus 19 is set apart. Now let me ask you a few more questions. Are you special to God? And the answer is yes. So do you think that you are holy? And the answer for every one of us is yes. You are holy before your Maker. So no matter if you think you are not holy or you are holy, the bottom line is that each and every one of us, we're followers of Jesus Christ and we believe in His Scripture, we are holy people. Set apart for God's work. Every one of us. Because you and I are special to God. Remember that in your life. Let me ask you some more questions. Were the Israelites holy because they were better than most people? And the answer to that is no. That is not why they were holy. The people of Israel were holy, special to God, because God loved them and He redeemed them from slavery, took them out of Egypt. Here's another question for you this morning in the green box. Are Christians holy because they are better than most people? And the answer, once again, is no. We're not any better than the person that doesn't come to church. We are just as much a sinner as what they are. The difference is that you and I have called upon Jesus Christ in our relationship with Him as Lord and Savior, which makes us holy. If you have your Bibles open with me, open them up this morning. Go to 1 Corinthians. Get your Bible out of the pew this morning. New Testament, about in the middle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see it in the Word of God. Verse 2. I want you to read with me as I read this to you this morning. I want you to get and understand that you are a holy people set apart by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul writes this to a church, to people who are struggling with sin. There's scandals going on in the church. Things are not perfect. And this is what he says. He begins his letter with this greeting. Everybody there? To the church of God in Corinth. To those sanctified. If you could take the word sanctified, you could put in there, to those who are called to be holy. It would be another word that you could use in Scripture this morning. In Christ Jesus, you are called to be holy. Because you are a holy people, is what Paul says. You can keep your, hold on to that spot in Corinthians. You, church, are holy. God has loved you. God has redeemed you from slavery of sin, and he has set you apart as his own. Each one of us is holy, set apart as a child of God. So let's give this some depth now this morning. Let's talk about what this looks like. What is the most important lesson to teach your children? Grandchildren. Keep your spot on 1 Corinthians. I'm going to pick up a verse here just a little bit. The most important thing that your children need to know is that they are special. Would you agree with me? Children are special. So how are you going to teach them that? They're not special because they're a great student. They're not special because they're a great athlete, or they have a great attitude, or they listen to everything that you tell them to do. They're special because God put them in your family. They are special because God has set them apart. They are loved by God. Your children are. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 with me this morning. Verse 14. Now, I know it's on the screen, but I want you to see it. Excuse me. In Scripture this morning. Why are your children special? What makes them holy? Set apart. And here's the reason. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 14 says this. The unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. Wow. Isn't that exciting news? So as parents, as believers in Jesus Christ, your children are set apart and loved by God. They are holy because you believe in the Almighty. Now put all this aside. You know that you're the church. You know that you're holy. You know that your children are set apart. Do you believe that you are special to God? Each and every one of you this morning, do you believe that you are special to God? Do you believe that God has loved you, and he's redeemed you, and he sets you apart to be holy in this world? And I hope that you can figure out and you can say, yes, I do believe that. But then here, I want you to go a step further. What does that mean to me in my faith journey? How am I living? How am I doing? Because in Scripture, Leviticus 19 says, very specifically, be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 19 answers the question of how can we be holy? There's two words that define believers as holy: separated and dedicated. This morning, those two words. We must be separated from anything that would defile us, anything that's sinful you and I are to turn away from. Don't be involved in, don't go to those places, stay away from those things. It's easy to get legalistic about our morality, isn't it? As if holiness is about do's and don'ts, a list of rules that we must follow. Holiness is not about a list of rules. I want you to think deeper than the rules, deeper than the commandments this morning. It's about honoring God as you live your life. That's holiness. It should draw you to follow the Ten Commandments. It should draw you to live out God's laws as he's taught them in Scripture. But holiness is deeper than that I want you to understand as you live your life. It's honoring God as you live your life. It's not going along with fads and prejudices of the people around you and I that we live in. The last part of chapter 19 has a list of commands, which would make the Israelites stand out from their culture. God wanted them to live differently, and he said, this is how I want you to live. And let me just bring a few of those out. Don't crossbreed your livestock. Don't wear clothes of two kinds of material. When's the last time you checked a tag on your shirt and found out if it's polyester or cotton or wool, whatever it might be? But they're commanded to live differently. Don't interpret omens. Don't contact fortune tellers. Don't cut your bangs. Don't get a tattoo. Keep the Sabbath. Don't associate with mediums. Love the stranger as yourself. Be honest in your business dealings, is what is spoken of. This is how God wants you and I to live as well. He wants us to stand out from the rest of the world. Now, here's one thing that often comes up, and people ask me, what do you do with tattoos? That seems to be a fad right now. Some of you have tattoos. Do I go to hell for having a tattoo? And the question and the answer to that is no. Back then, they were told that maybe you would. The question I got for you this morning is, are you honoring God in your life? I don't care if you got a tattoo or not. Personally, I don't like tattoos. My body's of the Lord. I want to keep it that way. But if you have a tattoo, I'm okay with that. I mean, that's a topic that I talk about often in our Sunday school class. Kids want to know, you know, mom and dad say, I can't get a tattoo, but I can't wait to get one. Rob, what do you think the Bible says about that? I says, here's what it says in the Old Testament. But you're not defiled if you get one. But are you honoring God in your life? That's the deeper question. So the point of these commands that God's given us in Leviticus 19 is that holiness is not limited to keeping this list or keeping the Ten Commandments or keeping 100 of commandments. Holiness asks the question, do you and I stand apart from the ways of this world and the way that you and I live? That's what holiness asks of us. So here is the million-dollar question I'm going to put up to you this morning. I'm hoping I can. There we go. Do you follow culture closer than you follow God? That's a good question, isn't it? Why do you do the things that you do in your life? Why do you wear the clothes that you wear? Why do you shop where you shop? Why do you drive the car that you drive? Why do you buy the food that you buy at the grocery store, certain kinds of stuff and others you pass on? Why do you do those things? Because in the midst of all those things, I want to lay this question out here this morning. Do you follow culture closer than you follow God? Now, you got to go a little bit deeper with me here this morning. Is that I laid that out to you this morning. Because holiness is how we stand out from the world as we reflect the holiness of God. I don't care what you wear, I don't care where you shop, or what kind of a car you drive, but let me ask you this question, what motivates your decisions in life? Is it the culture, or is it God? So the next time that you go to the store, or you do something, what's driving that motivation? Ask yourself that question, because here's the reality of this. Holiness is thinking in the terms of godly things, and willing as God wills. What is God's will for my life? Does God want me to have this? Does God want me to own that? Does God want me to purchase this item? You're always filtering things through the eyes of God. Your mind is constantly thinking about, what does God want me to do with this situation? How should I respond? Where should I invest my money? How should I do these things as I live my life? Back to that question, does the culture drive those things, or does God drive those things? See, that's what he's trying to teach the Israelites. Everything you do is unto me. Don't get caught up in the things that are going on around you in this world. So I have an illustration for you this morning. Anybody notice the picture of that walleye up there on the screen? It's swimming around in the water? You see that there in the back? So there's this walleye that's swimming around in the water in some lake, I don't know where, but here's the point that I want you to get. I want you to think about what drives your decisions in life. And here is a quote that I'm going to share with you from Jim Peterson in his book, Living Proof. Culture is hardly perceived as long as we don't leave the only one we really know. Meaning that if you never leave the United States, you can never tell the difference because you're so consumed with being a part of it that you can't tell what's holy and what's not. Did you ever think of that? How many of you, let me do a little poll out here this morning. How many of you have been outside the borders of the United States of America into a foreign country? Anybody done that? I don't care if it's military or vacation or you traveled. Put your hands up high. A lot of you. Okay, so let me ask you this question. Is there a difference when you leave that border into that other country? Can you tell something's different? Yes, exactly. You see, culture has affected you. Culture has shaped you, and you don't even know it until you leave the country. Let's get back to this fish story here. A fish doesn't perceive the water in which it swims. It doesn't know. It's because it lives there its whole entire life. It knows no difference. The fish thinks that everybody lives in water. Neither are we aware of our culture. Neither are we aware of the influence it exerts on our thoughts and our actions. Often, we must step outside of it to understand it and to understand ourselves. That's hard to do. I don't have that all figured out yet either. But that's what God's trying to impress upon his people. I want you to live differently. I don't want you to be affected by the things in this world. I want you to be my people. I want you to live holy lives, separate from this world. Now, don't get the theory that, you know, you got to be greater than thou. That's not where I'm going at this morning. But how do you live and act within that realm? Secondly, I think this is where it happens. How much of our lives are dedicated, are holy to the Lord? Let me challenge you in that area of your life this morning. Think back to the tabernacle, to the tent of meeting. The holy things were object lessons. Here a week or so ago, a group of us went over to George. We went through the tent of meeting and we seen that, how that all laid out. And it was very good. And how that just draws you closer to God as you went through these steps, as you entered into the tent of meeting. It's quite amazing. But the tabernacle and its contents, the incense, the offerings, and the priests, they were set apart for God, separated from contamination and dedicated to serve God. They weren't misused. They were totally committed to the glory of God. And so here's the challenge this morning. Our bodies, our minds, and our actions are holy, and they must be dedicated to God, each and every one. Look up on the screen this morning in the blue, Romans 12, verse 1. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So here's the question on top again. How much of our lives are dedicated to God? ¿15%? ¿Maybe 40%? ¿Maybe 85%? I'm not concerned where the percentage is at, but what I'm concerned about as a pastor is that percentage going up? Are you getting closer to God? Are you living a holier life? You'll never reach 100. That's Jesus Christ. We know that in a sinful world. But it's our job to be followers of Christ and to keep the percentage going up as we live our life. There's going to be bumps in there. You might be at 85 one day and you might do something wrong. You might be at 79, you know, but that's kind of what I'm trying to point out to you here as you walk. Let me challenge you a little more in that area. We might think of spiritual activities like Bible study and prayer and other things. We might think of religious activities such as going to worship or church or maybe giving a good offering or maybe acts of service in the church that you and I are part of in service to others who are in need. However, Leviticus doesn't allow us to put our lives into compartments. That's what God's trying to teach you and I this morning. You and I are affected by God in such a way that your entire life should be holy. Everything you do. It should affect your business. It should affect your relationships. It should affect social justice. Holiness involves every aspect of your daily lives. It's about how you treat your neighbor. It's about a family in need, someone with health problems, a single mother, a widow or a widower. It's how we act in church meetings. It's how we get along with others in the church. It affects everyday life. That can be harsh sometimes, can't it? But let me also comment on this. You serve a very, 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 and I could go on for a long time yet, graceful God that forgives and loves. Because you are what? Set apart to be holy. Your children are holy because you're believers in Christ. Perhaps you've noticed that this list of commandments involves not just keeping the letter of the law, but the spirit of the Ten Commandments are woven into this morning. You know, so let me challenge you in that area just a little bit. It's not enough to just not lie. One must not deceive or defraud. It's deeper than that. It's not enough to refrain from murder. One must not endanger a neighbor or hate a brother or sister. And remember when Jesus asked, what is the greatest commandment of the law? That you love your God with your heart, soul, and mind. Everything is what he said. A holy person dedicates their life, every part of their life, to God. Leviticus 19 calls us to live for the Lord. Be holy because I am holy, the Lord says. God's redeemed you, and he set you apart for his glory. So I encourage you, separate yourself from the sin and the evil and dedicate yourself to serve him with your whole life and everything you do. If you look on your outline this morning, got your outline with you this morning? If you don't, read it on the way home. There is a challenge question on the bottom of that outline. Here's what it says. What will you change in your life this week to be more dedicated, holy to God? Maybe you need to pray about what does that look like? What is it that I'm missing the boat on, God? And he'll tell you. But my challenge is to you as a congregation this morning, what will you challenge yourself into changing your life to live holier to God? Remember that percentage I talked about? How are you going to raise that in your life? That's my goal for you this week. And I hope that you make that a habit. And all of God's people said, amen.